Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in the great Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, brothers?
Not a lot, man. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you taking time to be with us on the program today. There's a lot going on around here. Charles, the Titans are deep in the search of a general manager, and they've got some impressive names on that list, whether it's Ian Cunningham or John Eric Sullivan or Mike Margonzi. Lots of decisions still yet to be made for the Titans. Meanwhile, they've not done anything with their coaching staff. We know Brian Callahan is coming back based on the comments from Amy Adams Strunk, but expected some staff changes, which to this point have not yet taken place. So kind of in limbo on a lot of fronts from the Titans. So I guess we'll just start on the GM part of this. What do you make of some of the names that have made the list for the Titans and the search here, and where do you ultimately think this goes?
I think John Eric Sullivan raised some eyebrows. You know, I had a couple of personnel guys, including a GM, who said that if they were going to handicap it, they thought that he makes sense in the general manager role, just from the standpoint of Brinker wanting to recreate what he knows in terms of how the Green Bay Packers worked, maybe how they evaluated players, maybe their grading system, a number of different things. But also, when you look at John Eric Sullivan's background, similar to Brinker, in terms of his lengthy tenure in the Packers franchise, how he worked his way up, really from scouting roots. You know, one general manager in particular said, it looks to me like when Brinker was working for Russ Ball in the Green Bay Packers organization, he's like, it would feel like a very similar setup between Chad Brinker and John Eric Sullivan. And I think it leans into what we talked about last week. Go and get your guy who you think can be your scout. And, you know, your chief scout, your scouting czar, your guy who can run all aspects of your front office. And I'm not saying that, you know, obviously the Titans have asked for multiple second round interviews with other guys, but I will say that, you know, and I brought up Ian Cunningham to you guys last week, obviously that unfolded, but, John Eric Sullivan is the one that I can tell you very prominently, once that transpired, there were a number of front office guys that are like, yeah, that makes sense. This is how, you know, Packers guys who leave the nest typically like to run their operations. As they go and they get someone else who they trust and who really understands how things work in the Packers organization. And look, frankly, there's been a lot of success. There's been some failures in Green Bay with the draft process, but they've also gone out and got a number of really talented guys. If Christian Watson would stop getting hurt, Jaden Reed would actually catch the ball. You know, there are a number of
preaching the choir.
I mean, a lot of things to feel good about, you know, with the Packers and picks that they've made in recent years. So, I mean, I keep a really close eye on John Eric Sullivan, but I wouldn't say right now that I would necessarily handicap a favorite just because they're being very thorough with their second interviews, which is pretty interesting.
All right. So what's weirder, Charles? The idea of a 3-14 team not making any changes on the coaching staff, or a team that's going to make changes on a coaching staff waiting for like 2 weeks after the season to do so?
I don't think it's weird, actually, especially not without a general manager in place. And the reason why is I think we'd be naive to think that the front office and Chad Brinker and the next general manager aren't going to play a role in maybe some of those coaching staff changes.
But why does Brinker need the new guy to chime in? Like, I mean, he is fully aware of what happened this year. He was here.
I don't know, Joe, why wouldn't you want everybody in place that's going to have a lead role in your organization? Do you think the next general manager is not going to be important?
I do, but I think that this is one of those things that, like, the adults in the room now can probably shouldn't these coaches have an opportunity to go get other jobs while other people are putting their staffs together if they're going to be fired?
Absolutely. But you also don't know what other assistant coaches are going to be available. You have no clue. In terms of some of these teams that are still in the playoffs, you have no clue who's going to come free. Who knows? The Philadelphia Eagles make changes in their coaching staff all the time. They fall short of the Super Bowl. They could frag some guys. Maybe there's some valuable guys on the Eagles coaching staff that you're like, hey, it might be tipping there, and we might want that person, but let's wait before we fire who we have in place, who maybe we value, but do we feel like we have to do our due diligence and upgrade if we have opportunities? Yeah, you know, I'm not saying it's great to lock up guys and not allow them, you know, an opportunity to go out there and find other jobs. But first and foremost, you have to worry about your operation. And if there are guys in place who you do value, but you also think you might be able to upgrade from down the line, you have to do what you have to do. It's not great. I mean, look at what Jerry Jones did to Mike McCarthy. Told the Bears to kick rocks and then let Mike McCarthy go anyway. Did nothing. And he did that when he knew he wasn't going to be retaining Mike McCarthy. Not only did that, you know, really put Mike McCarthy in a bad spot, put his coaching staff in a bad spot as well. So it's not a great part of the organization. It can be frustrating. Like, I get it. But let's not all pretend that the general manager coming in here isn't going to be influential in the process in some, you know, way, shape, or form. And let's not also pretend that maybe they add a candidate who – could sit down and say, well, you know what? I'm coming out of this organization. Here are a couple of guys that aren't necessarily graduated into certain assistant coaching positions, or maybe one of them has the opportunity to be the assistant head coach. I mean, there's different ways you can elevate certain guys and offer them jobs and get away with it. I think you don't have all the parts in play right now in terms of your front office. And frankly, Brinker has to worry about his future. He has to worry about his organization's future. And the Titans went, and I hate to say it like this, but they went, like, you saw the record, right? I mean, what does he owe those coaches right now, frankly? What does he owe them? I mean, it's not a 14-3 team, Joe. It's not a team that went to the playoffs. It's not a team that created a Super Bowl window under Rand Carthon. You know, Brian Callahan will be the first to tell you he's not happy with the results that he ultimately got this season. What he owes to anybody right now is to the owner, to the fan base, and everyone else to make the team the best he can possibly make it. And if that means hanging on to these coaches a little bit longer, that's what he's got to do to get his general manager in place, and then also look at, you know, what other elements change on other coaching staffs and availabilities that take place.
Charles, suit, anti coach. Good to know. All right, I'll take this into account moving forward.
Joe, it's not. What are we not? Let's adult.
Are you wearing a suit right now? Do you have a vest?
Why are we pretending like the NFL is this soft? This soft, happy play. Hey, look, you got a head coach.
I just think the timeline's a little strange.
Stop, Joe, you had a head coach that went out there and blasted his quarterback a couple of times, right? And I was like, yeah, do that. Be tough. Go out there. Say the things that you need to say. Don't pussyfoot around and be like, oh, I got to worry about his feelings. No, it's business. It's business. Perform. Do your job. Do what you're expected to do. And then move forward, okay? If the coach can do that with his players, the general manager can do that with the coach and his coaching staff. It's business. Like, I don't understand why we feel like we got to get into this mode where we're like, oh, but what about their feelings? What about their – it's part of the job. They know when they sign contracts, this can happen. It's not great, and they can absolutely – hold it against Chad Brinker in the future, 100%. That's also business. So if they get jettisoned and they go elsewhere and the new staff says, hey, we want some intelligence on the Titans. What do you know about the operation? What do you know about the playbook? What do you know about these players? What do you think those coaches are going to do? They're going to have a code of honor. There's omerta. I can't tell you. You know, any? No, they're going to go, this guy stinks. This guy's soft. Hey, if they cut that guy, he's actually really good, but the position coach doesn't like him. You know, are you kidding me? Like, they're not going to honor anything when they're elsewhere, nor should they. They should do what's best for them. It's a rough time right now for staffs. It's not good. I feel for guys, just like I told you, I feel for McCarthy and what happened with Dallas. And that only made McCarthy look better because he took the high road through that whole, you know, crap show. And, you know, you just got to move on. But this is also, this is the fallout from having a bad record. So fallout from not meeting expectations. You leave yourself open to realities that are not always convenient to you and your families, but that's life in the big city. I mean, this is the NFL.
So on the Cowboys front, you bring them up, and obviously there's been conversation this week about Deion Sanders, and could he potentially be a fit for the opening for head coach with Dallas? Number one, what do you make of that? How realistic do you think it is? Do you think that he said before he'd want to coach Shador, so we'll see what that looks like. They've obviously just signed Dak Prescott to a huge contract. So what do you make of the fit when you add all those things up between Deion Sanders and the Dallas Cowboys?
I think the whole story is hilarious. I really do. I think it's an absolutely hilarious story right now because, number one, this is exactly the kind of thing that Jerry Jones would do when he's held Mike McCarthy through the expiration of his contract. He can now no longer interview all these coaches that he could potentially add as head coaches. He can now no longer interview any of them until they're out of the playoffs. So for some of these staffs, he could be waiting all the way through the Super Bowl. I think it's exactly Jerry's style to drag the spotlight back to Dallas when it, from all intents and purposes, anyone you talk to in the organization that's willing to speak right now will tell you, it seems like Jerry's just going on his gut that they're not entirely sure who he's leaning on, who he's calling, where he's potentially coming up with these names. And then when the Deion thing comes up, what I thought was funniest about this, it was the most ambiguous description of a phone call I've ever heard of in my life. it's very intriguing. You gotta know that's an intriguing job. Really? Were you offered the job? Were you asked to interview? Did Jerry tell you you were a candidate? Like, I don't know that just because Jerry called Deion, maybe he called Deion to ask him about other candidates. I mean, like,
Or to ask him about Shador.
I mean, it's a completely opaque description of what happened, and all we know is Jerry called Deion. Maybe they talked about the job, you know? Okay, they talked. Well, what does that mean? What exactly did they talk about? You know, did Jerry ask you what you would think about taking the job? Did Jerry ask you if you would leave Colorado to come and coach the Dallas Cowboys?
Did Jerry say he'd pay your buyout?
Yeah, that's another thing. There's a multitude of questions to be asked there. None of them, to me, are clear. And it feels like Jerry doing his Jerry thing, which is to once again drag the spotlight back to Dallas in the middle of this hiring rotation when they've, you know, missed an opportunity to free up Mike McCarthy early and his staff early and go out and attack those interviews when they had the opportunity during the, you know, the bye week with some teams, and they didn't do it. So this is sort of where they're at. It's a story that bothers me. And really, look, beyond that, the biggest proponent of Deion Sanders being a quality NFL head coaching hire are Deion Sanders and Michael Irvin. Those are the two individuals that have driven this hardest and deepest into the media than anyone else out there. I do not hear from a multitude of teams, gotta go get Deion. Man, he's at the top of our list. Man, Deion's, if he's available, absolutely gotta go and get him. Is he someone who's interesting? Sure. Is there a level of intrigue? Absolutely. Can he do some of the things on the NFL level that he did in, you know, at the college level? Some. A lot he can't. The portal costs a lot more money in the NFL, and there are restrictions. Everybody's got Louis. Like, it's not, this is just not a, it's not a one for one, you know, comparison. And if Deion turns out to come to the NFL and be an absolutely great coach, that will be, it'll be a lot of fun to watch. It'll be great for everyone in the media. But right now, this whole fervor is so, it is so generated by Deion and Michael Irvin, and then this owner whose entire aim and probably the best job he's done in the last 30 years is creating fervor around his team.
Such a hater today. I'll give you a chance now with Mike Vrabel and his tenure with the New England Patriots.
I'm so irritated this deep into the cycle. I really am. Like, it's just, I get so sick of the, you know, the games that end up getting played. I'm sorry, what did you ask about Mike Vrabel? Who has the final say in New England?
But well, just everything, you know, Vrabel, the whole thing, it looks, you know, I mean, Ryan Cowden's coming in there, which obviously he was tight with him here, so I think that's interesting. I'm very intrigued.
A guy that learned.
Yeah, very intrigued.
A guy that learned to me.
And very intrigued by, you know, what he's going to do at OC. There's around here that, you know, we've got conspiracy theorists who seem to think this was all the plan all along a year ago. Like Gerard Mayo was just, you know, he was toast for 1 year no matter what, and that they were going to get Vrabel. I mean, there's a lot of things about this, but you know, of all those things I touched on, hit the most interesting one to you.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I don't think it was the plan because he came too close to getting the Chargers job last year.
That's what I tell people, like, but they don't want to listen.
Yeah. No, he was the second can, like, he was the guy. Like, if Harbaugh had turned the Chargers down, I am 98% sure the Chargers offer that job to Mike Vrabel and he takes it. They were overjoyed with the process with him. They were really, really impressed with his interview. The people around Mike Vrabel were like, he's really got a shot at this job. I remember having a conversation with one individual who's, you know, known Mike for two decades. And I was like, it's irrelevant. Like, it's clearly going to Harbaugh. Like, that's absolutely when, you know, Harbaugh passing on the Denver job doesn't mean he's not going to end up with the Chargers. And so to me, I kind of wrote it off. But what happened that I didn't know about until, you know, far later was that the Chargers called them after they hired Harbaugh. And they told them, look, we want you to know how great this was. And we want you to know how much we really liked you. And essentially, effectively told him it was your job. Like, if it had not been Jim, you were our guy. So that kind of throws a wrench into, oh, well, Mike was just going to sit out the rotation, wait for Gerard Mayo to get fired, which, by the way, is an absurd gamble, because what if Gerard Mayo had done a good job?
Yeah.
What if they had won 10 games?
Then all that was Mike, the plan, right, that he'd be good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid.
Yeah, you know, that's so Mike's going to gamble on his future and go, yeah, well, let's just, you know, wait and see, and Gerard's going to stink, and that'll all come together. Like, conspiracy theories are always hilarious to me because it takes, like, you know, anywhere between 17 and 400 things to go the way they're supposed to, and that it would have happened, or that's how it ultimately came to be. No, it wasn't. I mean, it was this opportunity, absolutely. Do I think that had Mayo not been hired a year ago, Mike would have ended up in New England? Yeah, I probably do think that. But they made the commitment that they made to Gerard. They were going to go through the process, and I'm sure they knew, probably for Mike himself or someone, you know, who's in Mike's circle, you're not going to get another shot at me. I'm taking a job this round, so this is it. And I'm certain that played a role in Gerard Mayo losing his job there. In terms of what's unfolded since, you know, all this has come to fruition in New England, I see a guy who clearly learned from what happened in Tennessee and was like, not going to have this happen again. And I told you before, his top criteria, number one, it was going to be, what's my connection with the owner? Do I trust the owner? Is the owner going to stick by me through thick and thin? Is the owner going to, you know, undercut me at some point when it comes to the front office? You know, I think there were a litany of things that he wanted established up front. He had that in place with the Crafts. There were some red flags with the Crafts and what happened with Mayo, yes, but still it was better than leaning on Mark Davis doing the right thing or any multitude of you know, other jobs, you know, Gail Benson. Like, you don't know with these other teams that he could have gotten what he wanted. And I told you before, you know, Cowden was going to be like the guy. Like, he was absolutely going to go after Ryan Cowden. I knew that from the start. And I think the thing that's important is when Kraft said, I'm not going to fire Elliott Wolf. I'm not going to make these wholesale changes in personnel, because he still has a belief in what those guys can go out and do. When Mike said, I have to have Ryan Cowden in the operation and I have to have final say, he got it. And you can look at that one of two ways. You can say, okay, you know, Elliott Wolf's knees are cut off and eventually he leaves because he feels like he has no power. We'll see. We got to see how the next draft unfolds. Or you can look at it from the standpoint of the Denver Broncos. When Sean Payton went in, everyone said, George Payton's getting fired. He's absolutely going to get fired. And ultimately what happened was the owner, Mike Penner, was like, from the jump with Sean, was like, I want you to know, George Payton's a general manager. He's going to be here. It's not going anywhere. When Sean went in, does Sean have final say? You can debate it. They do everything Sean wants, right? So Sean goes in, you might as well say he has final say, because they literally do everything he wants from a personnel standpoint. He goes out and he gets an assistant head of college scouting from the New Orleans Saints a year later, which gives him another conduit into the front office. And so far, everything's run smoothly. But there's always the possibility that Sean could make whatever move he wants and get the general manager installed that he wants in Denver. And I think you could say that's what exists now in New England. I would say Elliott Wolf's on the clock. We'll see how things go. If he can go out and get the players that Mike wants and that Mike's staff wants, then I think it's possible he can stick around. And one thing I will say about Vrabel, I don't know if you guys, you know, agree with it or not, I will say that he does have this reputation when you talk to other coaches and even personnel people out there. Mike does have more of an open mind than maybe people give him credit for. And if he feels like Elliott is on the team and Elliott is doing what he wants and bringing, you know, talent to the table that he looks for that fits the culture, like I've been told by people, he could keep him around. Absolutely. A year from now, he could go, yeah, actually everything's running fine. We don't have problems here. I don't have to have this guy displaced and Ryan Cowden become the general manager if things are working. Will that, you know, hold for 5 years? I don't know that. But I've had people who have straight up just said, don't assume Mike's just going to frag Elliott in a year when he gets the opportunity, if he gets the opportunity. If Elliott does a good job, Mike thinks he fits the culture and what they're trying to do, and Mike has final say anyway, he doesn't have to remove the guy as long as he's helping and not hurt. In terms of the offensive coordinator, I personally, I think it's going to be Josh McDaniels, just because I know how much Mike trusts him. Josh can take Mike's criticism. Like, Josh is used to dealing with Bill and Bill being extremely harsh on him in every possible way. And I think he has the kind of chin that can take it from Mike. And even though Josh has never,
that's what
been
I want to know.
Coach,
see, you can take the abuse of the head coach. Great.
he's never been a good head coach, Joe. Never.
Well, I know.
But he's been a good offensive coordinator. Mac Jones had the best year of his career under one OC, Josh. Cam Newton,
I prefer Matt
was
Patricia,
having a pretty good year for Josh until he got hurt and got COVID. Okay, like Cam actually was playing solid football. Looked like he could have a, you know, potential bridge future in New England. And, you know, some of the injuries popped up, the COVID thing popped up, and it completely derailed Cam. Tom, who was not the easiest quarterback to deal with for decades, like, he swears by Josh as being an offensive coordinator that helps you grow, helps you advance as a player, takes your crap, can help shape the scheme around you. So we can say whatever we want about McDaniels being a terrible head coach, and I won't fight that. It's the evidence is the evidence. But as an OC, he's been a really, really good coordinator, as have a multitude of former Bill guys who have tried to leave the nest but found their best job is really in a supporting actor role.
Charles Robinson joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Charles, great stuff today. A little feisty. I like it. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, I want to ask Joe real quick. Hey, Joe, how many first-round quarterbacks are in the playoffs right now out of the 18?
A lot of them are, but they also, most of them aren't, a lot of them aren't with their first teams, though. And that's sure. part of this, too, right?
Sure. Sure. 7 of 8, though. I will just tell you, 7 of 8. And even though first round picks don't necessarily work out with their initial team, if they work out with the next team, it means the previous team failed. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I would still also put Lamar as, you know, it's, I mean, it was the very end of the first round.
He's a first rounder.
I know, but, you know, like if the Ravens loved him that much, then why did they wait? They kind of lucked out, right? Come on.
So when you're 60 in a day, you're like, no, I'm really 39 and 366 days. Or I'm really 59 and 366 days. I'm not really 60.
I may have to use that.
Stop it. They're first round picks if they go in the first round. Let's just stick to that, okay? Or do you want to have another conspiracy?
No, that's fine.
How the 32nd pick isn't actually a first round pick.
That's fine. That's fine. We've learned a lot about you today.
Wow.
Preference for suits.
Wow. How about that?
Charles taking shots. Charles receiving shots here on the program.
All right, I
got kind of smoked today. Thanks, Charles.
Appreciate it. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll react to what Charles had to say. Interesting point about Vrabel and the Chargers there, too, which we'll get into. This is Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrow, sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. We're live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Over the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment.
Yeah, what a guy.
He's ready to get people out of here. He ain't worried about nobody else.
Like someone on the texture said, never, ever, ever work for Charles Robinson. That's a good point. Yeah, you can just sit there for a while. Just think about what you've done, and I'll let you know if you have a job or not some point.
I guess when you think about it, it really does make sense. It is professional sports. It still doesn't explain to me here's my problem with the whole thing as it relates to the coaching staff. Like you've chosen to keep Brian Callahan here for better or for worse. We'll see what it looks like. So if Brian Callahan is going to be here, like shouldn't Brian Callahan really have final say on what his staff is going to look like? Otherwise, like if you don't trust him to do that, why is he still here?
Well, yeah, but if something's going to be dictated to him, again, Dwight Schrute doesn't need to do that. Like Chad Brinker's here.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
What
PK said may be right.
I'm way less concerned with the, like, you know, it is a cutthroat business. I'm way less concerned with, like, Colt Anderson getting fired and going to find a job elsewhere because I'm not sure that exists elsewhere for him right now. But – like, that's the part of it that I can't quite make sense of. Like, Brian Callahan talked at this point 10 days ago or whatever it was about meeting with the coaching staff and making decisions on that moving forward. Like, does he not need to be the one making a decision on that? And if
not –
it
sound like he was.
Right. So, like, what are you waiting on if that's the case? Now, maybe it is as simple as, you know, they don't feel like they have to be in a rush and they're – looking around and seeing what becomes available across the rest of the league. But I just – it's weird to me. I thought, like, the day after the season, Colt Anderson would be fired. At minimum. Like, I thought that would be the minimum at what would happen.
I figured that week.
Yeah.
Yeah, at some point. But Charles says it's not weird. So, okay. It's not weird. Not weird to Charles.
He's a little spicy in that one. I liked it. Yeah. Really good stuff on the Vrabel part of this, too. Particularly – as it relates to, like, the was this the plan the whole time with Vrabel and the Patriots? Apparently the Chargers really liked Mike Vrabel, according to what Charles threw out there.
Yeah, I mean, and again, the part about it that bothers me more is this idea that Robert Kraft just expected this to happen with Mayo. You know, I think the biggest thing is that you could say is a slight conspiracy, whatever, is I definitely think that Kraft looked around and said, this is our chance to get Vrabel, so if we're going to do it, we're going to do it.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. That I totally buy. But again, that's going back a year. You don't know what's going to happen with a lot of different things. Also, I found it interesting that Charles, thinks Josh McDaniels is a good OC. Some people agree. He's right that Brady has definitely said many positive things.
I'm not going to sit here and say that I discount what Tom Brady has to say about it, but like Tom Brady makes a lot of people look really good. Okay, so I look, Tom Brady clearly loved working with Josh McDaniels. So there's stock that you put in that. I think the other part of what Charles said probably speaks better for McDaniels than the Brady part of like Mac Jones having a really good year with Josh McDaniels as the OC.
It's fair. I cannot, still can't believe that Belichick went with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge on his offense. My God. Yeah. And the thing is,
but here I'm saying though, like Brady's Brady.
Oh, of course.
Like, you know, a lot of OCs look pretty good with Brady.
Well, yeah. No, that's how I feel too. I also think that because of things like Bill Belichick saying, Matt Patricia is kind of, he's not really the OC, but he's just kind of drawing up plays over there. Like, there's going to be an outcry of anger if Vrabel does go with Josh McDaniels, whether it may be a good move and maybe it'll work out. But they're not going to like that, right? They're going to hate that.
I don't think they're going to like it. Now, we know how this works, too. By the time camp rolls around, they'll talk themselves into it. Well, thank God Josh McDaniels is here because, he really is the secret behind Tom Brady's success.
Like, yeah, well.
How this goes sometimes in these conversations. But
sure.
Yeah, I do think, from what I've seen, and I'm not going to act like I'm plugged into Patriots Twitter or anything, but from what I've seen, I don't think they're particularly enamored with the idea of Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. Now, that would be an early fan anger situation for Vrabel, but again, what does he care?
He does not. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Dave. Dave, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Found it interesting listening to Charles that he's not concerned with the Titans, making coaching decisions, and not concerned with their livelihoods of some of the assistant coaches, where they're going to work or whatever. But then he's really concerned about the Dallas coach, how he was treated. So what's the scoop? What does he believe in? Which area? Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Dave. I guess referring to the McCarthy situation, the way I don't think he said that he was necessarily concerned.
His point there, as I took it, was that he's pointing out the contradiction there from Jerry.
From
right?
Jerry Jones.
Yeah. That was a criticism of Jerry,
knowing all along that the relationship was coming to an end.
Yeah, but not letting the Bears talk to him. I mean, that's stupid. But, yeah. I hear what you're saying. Charles, I just think he's fine with anybody twisting in the wind and being fired at any point.
I hope this turns into a thing.
Turn in your TPS report today, Charles.
Charles,
I hope
Robinson,
he's still listening.
The most cutthroat man in the National Football League. That's what we learned on the program today.
My goodness.
I have one more segment coming up next. Got a whole lot of your thoughts to get to on what Charles had to say. We'll get back into Rex Rhodes' veteran QB take as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Dwight Schrute is manager!
Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
We're keeping this going, man. This is not going to die. This is going to continue.
Pretty good.
Titans would not like to suck berserker. We're going to keep that going, too.
We had some questions today on the text line about Quinn Ewers and what sort of a pro prospect we think he's going to be. I want to read this to you.
Okay.
Chip Brown just put this out there, who is an insider at horns247.com.
Oh, yes. He has broken Texas football news for decades.
Yes. So he says, Quinn Ewers turned down an $8 million NIL offer to transfer when deciding to declare for the 2025 NFL draft.
Yeah, I don't believe that. And, again, no offense to Chip Brown, but, like, he – breaks Texas news. There are people out there just exaggerating the hell out of some of these things. And that happened with Miami, too, and Carson Beck, by the way.
Yeah.
And then we got the actual number, which is still more than three. Is still, but the initial numbers that were floating out there were more than that. And
a one-year deal for $8 million for Quinn Ewers.
That's a bunch of crap. There's – because it just doesn't – it doesn't add up. First of all, I need to know, like, who would be possible – in this situation.
Alabama.
I heard Alabama.
Yeah.
I heard some speculation about Michigan because, they have the five-star that they stole away from Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
But are they, is he ready next year, right?
Right.
But $8 million for Quinn Ewers.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it.
I can't. I can't get that. I just think that's people lying.
To answer the question about the what sort of a pro I think he's going to be, like, I do not see Quinn Ewers as a starting NFL quarterback.
No.
That's just me. Like, he was a good college player. And I think at times, like, there were games he had this year, like, even in the midst of a really good season for Texas, where you're just like, man, what is Quinn Ewers doing out there?
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a good college quarterback.
He played
well. I don't think he's an NFL quarterback.
No, I agree. He's not an NFL starting quarterback. Charles continues to blow me up on, you know, on this whole. Charles apparently hates coaches. Didn't know. Good to know, though.
Still sniping at you?
Well, his point is, you know, the people always, they, you know, cape for the coaches. Oh, these guys, and they're, you know, they got to feed their families, got to move around. He's like, what about the coaches who just end the careers of these players? I'm like, okay. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's all, it's a profitable, big money business, and it's whatever. It's performance and results based. That's all fine. I just thought it was a little weird. I'm not, like, sitting here, like, playing a violin for these guys. But I just think it's just late to me. It feels very late.
Matthew in Nashville says, y'all have talked a lot about what you think the Titans should do at number one, but what do you think the teams around them are going to do, like New England, the Raiders, the Giants, who will try to trade?
Well, that's so much about the quarterbacks, right, especially with the Raiders and Giants. You know, the Patriots, to me, they're just going to take the best player they can take. They can take a premium player up there, or they, you know, all of them could trade back too. It's just, it's hard to know. The answer to that question comes down to which of these teams, if any, actually fully buy into either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. And that will dictate a lot of it.
Well, there's, so Jacksonville and the New England's at four, Jacksonville's at five. You feel pretty good about neither one of those teams taking a quarterback. I mean, particularly, like, New England's got Drake May, and Trevor Lawrence is getting paid a boatload of money, so they're not taking a quarterback. You know, what about the Jets? Like, what do the Jets do this offseason? They're at seven. Like, could they be interested in moving up to take a quarterback? What does New Orleans want to do? Like, New Orleans got a bunch of cap problems. You know, Mickey Loomis talked the other day about he still believes in Derek Carr. Is that real, or is that just lip service at this point heading into an offseason? I don't know. We'll see. But, like, then the question starts to become, how far are you willing to move down if you're the Titans? Let's say the Jets are really interested, and the Jets get to the end of this, they hire their general manager, their head coach, and they're moving off Aaron Rodgers, and they say, yeah, we got to move up to one. We got to get in front of Cleveland and New York and get to the number one pick with Tennessee. Are you willing to trade down to seven if you're the Titans at that point?
It's going to cost you.
Because you're not, and it's going to cost you a lot. Now, you could get a lot of draft capital back that way. But you're also, at that point, you're not getting Abdul Carter, and you're not getting Travis Hunter if you do that.
Yep, it's gonna to go that far. It's gonna be a pretty penny, but that's, you want those options if you're the Titans, and you really hope, again, the Titans may end up coming to the conclusion of one of these guys. Absolutely, this is the future.
Yeah,
but if not, you really hope someone else does.
Well, this is the benefit though of having the number one overall pick, because you dictate all this. Right? Like, I mean, it's not like you're going to be forced into a spot that you don't want to be in. Like, at worst, if the trade options that you're looking for don't present themselves, you got your pick of the litter at the draft. You can take whoever you want.
Exactly.
So that's a good spot to be in if you're the Titans.
It is. One quick text here. Don't forget about Matt Cassel. 11-5, 3,700 yards, 21 touchdowns under Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. Well, you've sold me.
We have come full circle on Josh McDaniels just on this program.
Just
in the last hour. He's awesome.
20 minutes.
Go get him, Braves.
That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.